Hey, everybody. So I wanted to apologize for how late it's taken to get this episode out. There are two really good reasons for it. One is just my schedule. I've been insanely busy with the classes I'm teaching right now, and it's just kind of a crazy place. You've all heard about this, so I'll shut up about it. The other reason is that when we recorded this originally, everything seemed fine, and it was only a little bit later that I realized the audio that I had received, one of the tracks had started to go bad, and basically, I think Jen's mic decided it just doesn't want to live anymore and just started to die. And that affected the audio, and so I wasn't sure what to do. We don't have time to really re-record, and that's what I was left with. I was like, what do I do with this? It's not where I would normally want the audio to be. Some parts of it are a bit rougher than the normal. So I'm deciding to release it anyway, and largely because the discussion we had was really good, and we did get a listener to ask for this. And I would hate to be like, yeah, we did it, but then we kind of screwed it up, and so whatever. So I hope you're going to be okay with the episode. There is a really good discussion in here about X-Men Apocalypse and comics and adaptations, and there's some really cool stuff in here, and some rage, lots and lots of rage. And yeah, so I hope you enjoy it. So thanks again for listening to the show, and there'll be more episodes coming like the same week this episode drops. So expect more stuff to come. And folks on our Patreon page will be getting a list of all of the upcoming episodes, because there are a lot. So anyway, thanks again, and bye.
I believe in my powers.
I believe in my powers.
I believe in the powers of my teammates.
I believe. In the power of my teammates.
I trust in my powers.
I trust in my powers.
I trust in the powers of my teammates.
I trust in the powers of my teammates.
Somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way.
Look, okay, just get any blunt objects together, all right? Get cornered, bash them in the head. That seems to work out.
I mean, what are we, a team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos.
Gentlemen, I'm Agent Carter. I supervise all operations for this division.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
And
angels of love!
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show.
X-Men Apocalypse, a complete waste of Oscar Isaac's acting talents.
It's true.
And other talents.
I don't know what Jen could possibly mean about that. That was a totally innocent statement from Jen.
Completely.
Lies. Nothing about anything Jen says is innocent. I'm Sean.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jen.
And obviously we're here to talk about X-Men Apocalypse. Yeah! Woo! Woo! Woo!
Yay!
So this was requested by a listener. They wondered on Twitter where the heck our X-Men Apocalypse episode was, and I said, Are you demanding it right now? And he said, yes. Yes, I demand that you do this. And I can guarantee Edward Giordano, if I've got your name correct, that people on this podcast are going to possibly want to cut one of your limbs off and then beat you with it.
Multiple limbs.
Just one. Just one. We don't need to be mean. Come on.
I will say that it's very nice that our listeners request things of us.
Yes.
This is very nice. So thank you, Edward.
Yes.
Really appreciate it.
And,
I'll put
I'm
a link
not
to your Twitter.
At you, Edward. So it's okay.
Well, one of us is not. To be fair, I'd already seen the movie before he requested it.
Same
so
here.
The only one who really has a reason to be mad is Jen. To be fair, though, Jen has no reason to be mad because she volunteered to be on this episode.
I did, because I had just enough of a masochistic streak that I was like, you know what? If our listener demands it, I will go and subject myself to this torture for a non-torture cinema episode.
Well, it may very well be torturous. We don't know. So on that subject, obviously, we're here to talk about X-Men Apocalypse. And so we need to dive right into it by having somebody describe what this movie is about.
I would do that, but I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I can take a shot at it.
Go for it, Rachel. Have at it.
So X-Men Apocalypse is the story of how Charles Xavier, after two movies, well, two and like three quarters movies, finally ends up bald.
That's true.
I mean, it is true.
That's
and how Storm gets white hair.
Oh, she already had. Well, that's true. Yeah, So it's basically a movie about hair and its relation to mutants. And it's a really convoluted way for a man to end up bicking his head, but we don't judge on the Skiffy and Fanny show. I just want you to know
ironically,
that.
This is the second of the X-Men movies to show us what happened to someone's hair. As you recall, the first of the X-Men movies did have Rogue's hair go white.
That's true. She got the white streak.
Yeah. Anyway, to be fair, that was the first movie, not the third one. You'd think we would have graduated up from hair changing colors, but apparently that's the direction we're going.
Yeah.
No, we've actually gone through 5.5 movies. We got to Xavier's hair. So.
Yeah.
I know, he was just bald before, because he was Patrick Stewart and he's just sexy.
So the actual plot line is basically that there's this super powerful mutant named Apocalypse that's played by Oscar Isaac and is a complete waste of his acting talent. That in ancient Egypt, he gets his followers try to kill him because he's an asshole and they don't quite kill him. And then he gets woken up in, I guess we're up to the 80s now.
Yeah. 1983.
Everyone looks so young. And he comes back and he's like, I'm going to have my, you know, make my little band of super powerful mutants again and collect everyone. And meanwhile, Charles Xavier is doing what Charles Xavier does. And Eric is off having a family for the purpose of having them murdered so he can have man pain about it. Which I'm sure we'll talk more about that later.
We will.
And,
we will.
Then basically Apocalypse picks up Eric. Eric proceeds to do what he does in every fucking movie, which is be like, oh, I'm going to kill everyone. Oh, wait, I guess I'm not because I'm super gay for Charles. Okay.
But then he always leaves. It's like Brokeback Mountain over and over again.
I mean, it's the same plot line in every movie. Like, I love McAvoy and Fassbender, but yeah, it's the same fucking plot line in every movie. And I mean, that's literally the plot line of the movie. There's a bunch of other convoluted stuff, and there's an ensemble cast of mutants, and Wolverine makes the mercifully most brief cameo of Wolverine I've ever encountered. Thank fuck, because I'm so tired of Wolverine. But it really is just kind of like the same movie we've seen every time, except this time it's a dude named Apocalypse, and it's nominally in the 80s.
Well, and we have, like, 18 different origin stories being told to us.
Yeah.
Which,
at
yeah.
least, yeah.
Because I think we're introduced to, like, 12 new mutants. Let me see. We get Angel, Archangel. Oh my gosh, Bamf dude.
Nightcrawler,
sorry. His name just totally fell out of my head because all I remember is from the comics.
Kurt
he constantly
Wagner,
says Bamf.
AKA.
Yeah, we get Cyclops, Jean Grey, who else?
I like how you mix their, you know, superhero name with their actual name.
Yeah, who gives a shit what their real names are? No, not people.
I do!
I'm sorry, we get Scott Summers and Jean Grey, who just goes by Jean Grey.
Yes.
Her superhero name is her name. It's the worst superhero name ever. Who else do we get? Oh, we get Jubilee shows up at one point. We get Aurora slash Storm.
Storm. Psylocke.
Caliban.
And we get Quicksilver Returns, which
Quicksilver
one of the best
returns.
Things.
Isn't an origin, but
yeah, no, it's not his
origin. He does return.
We get
he may also be the best of this whole movie.
We get fucking Wolverine.
Yeah.
Again.
Technically, we do get an origin for Wolverine, despite the fact that he was
and
in the
Stryker,
last goddamn movie.
Who's not a mutant, but Stryker's in there too.
True,
and
but he was not an origin. He was in the previous one.
Caliban, who doesn't actually get to be a mutant, really, in this movie, but he's in there.
Right, because he senses and tracks other mutants. We do have the Blob, but it's not
Blob
much of an
for a brief moment.
Brief moment.
Really got hot, man. Yeah.
We get, Dazzler made a brief appearance in this?
Dazzler does make a brief appearance. Not in the movie, though. In a cutscene, Dazzler makes a very brief appearance in the cover of a a vinyl record.
Oh, fuck off. That would have been cool, right?
Yeah, it would have been fucking awesome.
God.
Not really Dazzler enough credit.
Just feel like they should just fire Bryan Singer and let us write the movie, because we would make such a kick-ass movie.
I'm sure there were about a million other mutants, because apparently Charles Xavier's school is randomly populated with, like, 100 students.
Yeah.
But they don't say who any of them showed any of their powers.
We do have the supposed death of Havoc in this movie. I say supposed
don't
because...
Don't get me started on Havoc.
Calm your butts, because I guarantee you he's not dead.
No, of course he's not dead, but you know what he is? The older brother of Scott Summers.
Yeah.
That fucking makes sense.
Yeah, he was always the older brother of Scott Summers.
No! He's not! He's in the movies, in the new reboots.
We're off to a good start.
In the new films, he is the older brother. For some random fucking reason that nobody will ever be able to explain, they're like, Havoc, let's put him in. But not Scott until the 80s. So he's like 20 years older.
So basically, Scott was the oops baby.
You need to calm down.
I have a lot of fan rage over the new trilogy, so that might be contributing to disgust with everything.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's dive into this movie, because there's plenty for us to talk about with X-Men Apocalypse. So we should do so. And I'm going to propose that we start by talking about things that are perhaps less negative, because I suspect that we will have much to say about certain aspects that have already been brought up. And so I will start with the introduction of some of the characters, which obviously have existed in the earlier X-Men movies, but we see them now as young teenagers. I actually really enjoyed the introduction of Scott Summers and Jean Grey.
Yeah.
That was not awful.
Yeah, I thought they were fine. I thought Scott Summers was just enough of that cockiness. I liked the little hint of the romance between them. That was nice.
I really liked seeing Jubilee. I wish she hadn't just kind of vanished partway through the movie, but, you know, I thought she was super cute. I didn't hate what they did. Basically, when my option is either Storm that was in this movie or the Halle Berry Storm, I will take this Storm, because I thought she actually had some life to her. So I actually really liked her, and I liked her mohawk.
Also an accent.
Yes.
You know.
I wanted this actress playing the Halle Berry films of Storm, though. That was kind of my problem.
Well, yeah, because the story that we're given for Aurora Monroe is...
It's pitiful.
Ridiculous. A lot of these, the superheroes we get introduced to in this movie don't get a lot to work with. I mean, Aurora, I really feel deserved more. But she didn't really get it. And the story that she got, I felt, was a bit contrived. The whole, she's a fan of Mystique, and she's our hero. And that's how we get to the end when she betrays Apocalypse, because Apocalypse is going to kill Mystique. And it's like, no, laser super fire. And it just
sort of felt like
that's just too easy. I understand the whole, like, we got to get everything to kind of come together at the end, but it just felt too easy for a character that really needed more depth. And we didn't really have that depth.
No, there was none at all.
No. Although, of the new
Alexandra
ones...
But Alexandra Shipp did a great job.
Yeah.
Given what she was had to work with.
I think she did fine. I was less impressed with Olivia Munn.
Almost nothing. With who?
With Olivia Munn. As Psylocke.
Yeah, mostly because, again, given almost nothing, Psylocke is one of my favorite characters, and this was not Psylocke. This was just a person in Psylocke's costume. So that was pretty disappointing. Angel was not. That wasn't Angel. I'm sorry. Nightcrawler was a pretty good introduction, though.
Yeah, I really liked this Nightcrawler.
Yeah, he was very enjoyable. He was cute.
Super cute.
I will forever and always love what's-his-name as my... So...
Alan Cumming.
He had a lot to live... Yes. Oh my god. So good. So this kid had a lot to live up to.
Cody Smith-McPhee. Yep.
And he did a pretty good job. And it was an okay introduction of a Nightcrawler character, given his original origin. So that was fine. I guess.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Yeah, so I it seems like we're all more or less on the same pages in terms of characters that were cool characters in the comics, but were not very well done very well here. But it seems like we both agree that we like Jean Grey and Scott Summers for what little they got to do.
I felt like Scott was nearly enough of a dick, but, you know, that's because I didn't like Scott.
Scott's not supposed to be a dick, though! He's just a good guy!
Okay, we need to have a paused little conversation right now about the whole, like, it has to uphold what the comics brought in bullshit argument.
No.
That shit just needs to go away.
Yeah, I am not, there are plenty of reasons that we're going to end up bagging on this movie, but I'm just kind of like, it's its own continuity, kind of like MCU is a discrete continuity from Marvel, you know, the other Marvel comics, so.
Yeah, and I have, I guess the issue I have is like, yeah, I mean, these characters are, a lot of them are very different from the comic book characters in sometimes significant ways, sometimes very small ways, but I think if we're going to do like a comparison between the comics and the movies will never live up to the comics. It is an impossibility. So you set a standard you'll never match. And I think that's a point. Then why bother going to these movies? Because you will just inevitably be disappointed. These characters have to be adapted. They have to be adapted for a film.
They do whether have or not to be adapted to a film. Unfortunately, in this film, they're not even adapted. They're basically thrown onto the screen in a, like, vomit. And like, oh, see, look, it's Scott. Oh, see, look, it's Jean. Oh, look, it's Nightcrawler. Oh, look, it's Psylocke. But that's all they're doing with them. They're basically just throwing them on the screen because people think they're cool. That's literally the only reason we have Psylocke, because there was the fan picture of Olivia Munn as Psylocke.
I understand.
And everybody was like, that's fucking awesome. So they threw her in. This basically gets to the problem with every single one of Bryan Singer's sort of adaptations of the films, because I was actually okay with the first of this new trilogy, which was a complete bastardization of the comic books that had almost no relation to anything. But it was still a pretty decent film. It was fun. I was fine with it. Since then, though, since Bryan Singer came back, and particularly with this one, it was throw everything on the screen and hope it sticks.
Yeah. And that's a problem with the film itself, not with the comics.
No, that's not the problem with the comics at all.
Right.
Or its relationship to the comics.
Right. That's what I'm saying is like the comics, they're a whole other thing. And paying attention to the sort of the source material and its translation is a pointless endeavor. But focusing on how shitty this film does what it does is absolutely valid, because you're right. He just throws, like, here's 8,000 different characters. Ha 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 ha, you know who these are. And it doesn't work for most of the characters, because a lot of them we don't know who most of these characters, I mean, we do, if you know the comics or you watch the previous films, you know them in that sense. But just throwing them here just feels lazy.
Well,
in a lot of ways.
It means that because there's so many characters, the movie ends up having that, you know, way too many characters trying to fit into a small space and, you know, a certain amount of runtime. That, like, is the problem we had, say, in Age of Ultron. But at least Age of Ultron had an excuse for why it needed to have all those characters, because it's a fucking Avengers film. This was just, like, a random grab bag of mutants that some of them you were kind of like, I don't know why these guys needed to be here, but okay.
Well, and that's part of the reason that I end up bringing up the comics, because you have good stories. It is very possible, as we've seen, with the rest of the MCU not owned by Sony, that it is possible to adapt comic book origins, comic book stories, to the big screen in a quality fashion. You don't necessarily have the same stories, or even have the same characterizations, but it's still good, because it's a good story, or good actors, or good script, good CGI. The problem is, when you basically throw out everything, because that's what they did with these films. They threw out everything except the fact that Xavier's a bald dude eventually.
Like, yeah, I don't have a problem with throwing that out.
That's the only thing that bears any relation to the comic book. So it's like, then why not just make a fucking random movie? Don't bother putting in any of these people
Because there's a built-in audience for the X-Men franchise, and they're there to make money.
Which they have been steadily destroying over each film. This one was so bad that it's not quite as bad as Wolverine Origins, Rotten Tomatoes, but pretty fucking close.
No, it's nowhere close
it's
as bad.
It's actually worse. It, no.
I would disagree that. I watched Wolverine Origins, and no, this is nowhere close to as bad as Wolverine Origins.
It's really not.
No. But if you're looking at, like, what general opinion of these films are, The Last Stand is considered a better movie than this is.
Because it is.
Because it fucking is.
It's more
and
contained.
And it was a terrible movie.
Like, and I think, I think part of the problem, like, let's move away from comic talk, because we could go down a rabbit hole, I think. So I think part of the problem with this film is, I think it could have gotten away with one set of origin stories, just the Apocalypse stuff, right? Apocalypse himself and his horsemen. That's it. But they want to do that plus all of these other characters and have their origins too. And I feel like that's too much because so much of what should be our main plot line is suspended in order to get to all of these characters. Right, because you have to set up, right? We have to be introduced to Psylocke, we have to be introduced to Angel, we have to be introduced to Storm, we have to have the reason for why Lancer is back, is Magneto, and what the fuck he's been doing. Like, we have to have all of these stories, plus we have Scott and Jean Grey and Nightcrawler, and I think that's basically kind of the big ones, more or less, right? You get little introductions to others, but not really origins, right? So we have to have their stories, sort of. We don't really get... I mean, it's fair to say we don't really get Jean Grey's origin. We just get introduced to her, which, okay, but then, like, whatever. Anyway, but it's too much loaded into the story when really what we need is we need to have a better sense of why Apocalypse is supposed to be our big bad. And to me, this Apocalypse felt... My big concern with this Apocalypse was as soon as I saw the pictures, my first reaction was, I get that it's Oscar Isaac. Got the name right, guys.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you, Sean.
Yeah, it's Oscar Isaac. He's a great actor, but the visual for it, my immediate reaction was like if My Chemical Romance was a superhero, and that's what we would get. And so he didn't visually give me the fear. That's what I associate with Apocalypse, yeah. Is he's visually supposed to be imposing. He's supposed to be terrifying. But I could get over that. That's fine. Right? Maybe some other aspect of him would be terrifying. But the more that we learned about Apocalypse, the more I felt like the only thing that's supposed to be scary is he wants to destroy the whole planet. But, like, that's every fucking villain in every X-Men movie we've had. And at this point, that's not scary anymore. You can't keep doing the same big plot.
And never felt like a threat.
I mean, you get
not really.
Kind of blow up the world fatigue. I mean, I could go on a rant about that and Doctor Who as well. But I think I can go with, okay, it's another big bad who wants to destroy the world. Fine. But the way he went about it was just so nonsensical. Especially, I was like, oh, shit, he's launching all the nuclear weapons. He's basically stealing a page from the Skynet playbook. Okay. And then instead he's like, I'm going to launch all the nuclear weapons into space, and then I'm going to have Eric murder everybody with magnetism because reasons. Because it was in Fassbender's contract.
The planet,
I don't know.
Yeah.
You gotta keep the planet habitable for the mutants. Yeah. And you can't do that if all the nukes go off.
It was just... I
that actually was the only thing that made sense to me about his plan.
I was just like, what the fuck is even going on here?
Well,
thing is, though, okay, his plan is, I'm going to fire all the nukes into the sun. Okay, fine. And then he's like, and then I'm going to use Eric, who I've put some kind of, like, signal booster in, to rip all of the metal out of the Earth. You don't think that's going to fuck up the planet? Let me tell you, as a geologist, yeah.
He fucks up the magnetic poles. Like, he's using the magnetic poles to destroy the whole planet,
Yeah, and if you fuck up the you know, magnetic field of the Earth, bad things will happen, and it won't be a good place for mutants to live anyway. So I don't know if it's just that Apocalypse is very bad at science, or, you know, what, but his entire, like, plan didn't make any sense, and it really just seemed to be like an elaborate way to make Charles Xavier finally lose his hair.
Yeah.
Right.
And
to give us 2 hours, 2 freaking hours of planet destruction scenes.
So, like, the big That's thing that like never, anyway. Like, a lot of his plan is, I mean, it's, like, it makes the loosest sort of sense. It's just, like, I want to destroy the whole world and make it for, like, me and, like, my 8 mute chicks that I want to have left. Or whatever. Maybe he's into guys. I don't know. Whatever. Right? Like, that's sort of his little plan, is he wants to basically wipe out humanity and leave behind the mutants he likes, I guess. Which, fine, okay, it's a weird plan, but okay. But he knows that he is vulnerable in the climax of the thing, because they steal Charles Xavier, and he's like, I will become basically invulnerable if I transplant myself into your body. That's, like, how he's survived, right? And how he's gained all these powers over the centuries. Is he's used this magic system, I don't know how it works, he uses the sun and, like, penis juice or something, and transplants your body over into this other mutant body, right, which is what he was doing in the beginning, right? We see his origin, that's what he's doing, he's getting into a body that basically has Wolverine powers, where he just heals. So, he says, like, I want to get into Xavier's body, because once I have that, the magnification of your powers, I'll be able to control basically everyone on the damn planet. But, the smart plan would be, let's just focus on doing that and nothing else. So we'll keep it down low, be quiet,
yeah,
and do that part. Not like, yep. By the way, also, Magneto, would you fuck up the entire planet so everybody knows where we are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, as villain plots go, it was not very well thought out. I mean.
Yeah.
It's, what I honestly ended up liking in the movie, because I didn't hate it, I'd watch it again. I don't mind it, is, okay, everything to do with Quicksilver, because he just steals the show.
He does.
And honestly, it's just, it's frankly that I am a fan of the McAvoy and Fassbender characters, and I could watch him do just about anything. Obviously, I'm willing to, because I watched this, and I'd be willing to watch it again. So, you know, I have no problem admitting it's not great. It's not good.
Yeah. You know, so, oddly enough, we have been, like, really negative on this movie, despite the fact I said I wanted to start with positive. But yeah, Quicksilver scene, when I left the movie, I said to myself, there should be a standalone Quicksilver movie as soon as possible. Because that was, like, the best 5 minutes, or however long that scene was, of the entire movie.
Well, and
it was the most enjoyable
thing. If his movie was only him being Speedy Guy, that would be good. However, every time he talked, I wanted to gouge my
brain out with a spoon. I actually really loved him as a character, because he is like super competent when he's using his powers, but otherwise he's a total loser, and I really liked that. I, you know, like that whole part where, you know, Mystique is making her impassioned plea to Eric, and it's like, you know, it was like everyone's life has changed, and Quicksilver's like, yeah, mine too. Well, I'm
mine too, except it hasn't.
I'm still living in my mom's basement.
That was cute.
I mean, like, I love that, because he is kind of he's the token loser schlub character.
But he's so much fun. I feel like if you did a Deadpool Quicksilver movie,
oh my god,
that would be so much fun, right?
It would be like a match made in heaven. It would be amazing.
Right? I would, god, because you could just see them playing pranks on each other, right? Like, that would be the opening scene. It would be Quicksilver basically doing his speed thing and making, like, Deadpool, like, put his finger up his own ass or something. Like, that would be the thing.
I don't think you have to make Deadpool do that.
Okay, fair enough. But making Deadpool do something that would be uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't know. Like, that, they're just, I don't know. I love that scene. I think that scene was the best piece of cinema the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
And if it was just that scene, this movie would be an A+ for me. Because it was really good. Yeah, so, but anyway, so Apocalypse. Kind of lame.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the worst villain that any of these movies have had.
Yeah. I think I referred to him off podcast as sort of like a blue version of E.T. Because there's that weird moment. By the way, I had the joyous experience watching this movie while the pair of women behind me decided that the Auschwitz scene was a great time to giggle.
What?
Yeah, I'm nice not people. Even kidding. They were giggling through the whole Auschwitz thing, because Auschwitz is damned hilarious, y'all. But anyway, yeah, so they also laughed at the moment when he says to the TV, when like Aurora's like, what are you doing? And he's like, learning. And he's...
Yeah, but that was worth a giggle.
That was... I did not giggle, but I cringed, because I was like, oh my god, Oscar Isaac, you went from being Poe Dameron to this.
You've definitely taken a step down. It's so, like, that should be a character... Like, he has some really good speeches. I feel like, not speeches per se, but like lines where he really brings in a lot of this emotion and anger of Apocalypse, and I really wanted more in his character, and we never got it.
No.
It's
like they didn't give him anything to work with, I don't think.
Yeah, no, they didn't. There was nothing in the script that even got him near an actual sort of righteous anger.
No.
And if it had been in the script, I don't think he would have been capable of actually pulling it off with the amount of makeup that he had on. And granted, that's totally pretty much what Apocalypse looks like on a much smaller scale, because he's kind of tiny.
Right, I wanted more
there
meat.
Was no... As you said, he's supposed to be imposing, but he really wasn't. But that makeup was... It looked unwieldy, and yeah. Oscar could not act around it. There's a reason that people use a mix of makeup effects with CGI these days, because for especially characters like that, or you just don't fucking bother. Like, there was no reason. They've thrown everything else out from the comics. Why keep the Apocalypse look at all? They could have let more of Oscar shine through,
because
and they didn't.
That would have driven people like you to want to murder everyone at Fox.
I already wanted to murder everybody at Fox.
Yeah, but this would have been the thing that would have driven you over the edge, Jen. You would have shown up at the office with angry letters and your little X-Men figurines, and you would have had like a little
penknife. You know what fucking made me do that? Aurora, and basically just Aurora, as a fucking horseman of the Apocalypse. I'm still angry! Months later. Months after finding out. I'm angry.
You need to chill the fuck out. You are seriously gonna have like an aneurysm. Go play with your X-Men figurines and come back and fight. It'll be okay.
No, it won't. Because this movie will have been made.
Well, in any case, so I will say that one of the things I did like, I was actually surprised at how well the inside Xavier's mind fight worked.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that would really fall flat.
But that was super cool. And it was like, yeah, you never fuck with Charles Xavier on the astral plane, bitch.
Right, he and then of course when Jean Grey comes in, I thought that was really something too.
Yeah,
And I will just say that I know that technically speaking, like Jean, like this whole thing with the Phoenix power, we shouldn't be seeing it at this point, not really, based on where the narrative has gone. I was really excited to actually see what felt like actual Phoenix Force, which I didn't feel we fully got out of Last Stand, but to see Jean Grey sort of embody it as the Phoenix and just like fuck the shit out of Apocalypse with it, that made me so happy.
Well, right. The nice thing is that they're like, okay, we're gonna do Phoenix Force, but we're not gonna do Dark Phoenix. Because that's an entirely different look. So there wasn't really that major anger and complete insanity that would have been Jean with the Dark Phoenix. It was just Phoenix. Which granted is whatever. But that was actually I had my moment of, okay, I'm actually seeing Jean on the big screen. And that was cool. That was the only time in the entire movie that I got that feeling, unfortunately, which was, because I was really hoping to get that with both Psylocke and Storm. I was really fucking hoping for that feeling. Jean came out with that, I will be powerful now. Slayed it. So Sophie Turner, absolutely killed.
She did a really good job. I felt, I loved the scenes with her visions. Yeah,
with so little to work with,
she had more than some other characters, and I felt she did really good with even that amount. The visions that she has of basically of Apocalypse, right? Pun intended. Ha ha. I thought those were really well done. Her emotion, her reactions to it, I felt were really strong. I still get a little giggle inside when Scott shows up and is being a little cocky asshole, and she's like, yeah, whatever, dude, you're just a loser. And then she sees his power, and she gives him that look. And I'm like, that to me, like, that moment, I was just like, aw, they're so cute, and they're like 12. Aw.
Yeah, and until they made it creepy because Wolverine showed up.
Creepy? He did.
So what? Creepy.
I'm just so done with Wolverine. Can Wolverine please go away? He's been in way too many movies.
Seriously, I mean, I've mentioned the whole thing that they love shoehorning characters into places that they really shouldn't fucking be in these X-Men movies. That entire sequence of Stryker picking them up and taking them to the Project X Weapon X facilities and finding Wolverine.
Yeah, it just made no sense.
Completely pointless.
It's completely unnecessary. Yep.
Completely. It had nothing to do with anything else at all. The only reason it was there was so you could see Wolverine as Weapon X.
And wearing his funny hat.
Yeah.
And
I know I'm just saying for people who don't understand, right, that he in the comics and
which was much better than his original Weapon X looks from the movies when he was, sure. You know.
I'm just saying, though, like, that is one thing that I kind of wish they'd left from the comics, because it looks really dumb when he's just, like, flopping around and that hat's going floppy about on his head, and it's just sort of like, come on, like, at least glue it to his head so it doesn't wobble.
But yeah, the sort of forced sexual chemistry was creepy.
Yeah. Sexual chemistry.
So, yeah.
I didn't get that at all.
I'm glad. I was totally creeped out by the entire
scene.
No,
Jen, I got it. Yeah. It was
particularly
I was just like, really? She's like 12 years old. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
That's oddly common.
If not like 30 years old.
Yeah.
He's like 30 years older. He's way older. Way older, which is fine if you want to have a May-December romance. I'm totally okay with that. However, they somehow still managed to make it creepy in this, to me. And particularly with Scott standing there like, what's going on right now? Why am I seeing sexual chemistry between the girl that I like and this 90-year-old man? This is weird.
He's literally probably...
I just felt, felt bad for Scott.
He may be over 90 at that point, now that I think about it.
Oh, well, he's like 10 billion years old at that point. 10,000?
He's probably over 100, actually, by that point.
Oh, it depends on the storyline that you follow. There is a chance that X-Men was actually born during the Ice Ages.
Okay. Well, then that's okay. Craziness.
It
is very shoehorned. I don't think we need it. Although I will say it's nice to see Wolverine, like, we get a super violent version of Wolverine.
The only point that I saw to any of that was that you got to see Jean, Nightcrawler, and Jean, Kurt, and Scott sort of meshing as a team.
Yeah.
Which was nice. I did appreciate that because, like, particularly from the previews, the previews were just misleading enough because you have that whole end scene with Psylocke being Jennifer Lawrence. Not Psylocke, Mystique being Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes. That would be very confusing.
Really, actually, specifically, it's Mystique being Katniss for the last 5 minutes of the movie. But in the previews, they made it seem like that happened much earlier in the film. So for half of it, I was like, I have no fucking clue what's even going on. Where's the whole training bit? And then there was none, which was fine. And they got to be sort of teamy, which was cool because they definitely needed to learn how to be teamy. And then they stopped being teamy and split up a whole bunch, but, you know, whatever.
And then we got their training at
the
end.
That was the only part that made sense of the entire Stryker sequence, is that, okay, we're going to show them coming together.
Fair enough.
Which I guess is okay.
Did anyone else have an issue with the Mystique narrative?
There was one?
Well, okay, so in the first of these new X-Men movies, right? So we get this Mystique thing where it's sort of Xavier's not really understanding that for Mystique, the whole, like, having to hide herself thing is a real issue. He's sort of oblivious to it because he's kind of at some time, when it comes to people, he's oddly fucking stupid. And so that's kind of the whole thing, right? And then at the end of that, she kind of joins Magneto a little bit because she feels like he respects her as the mutant that she is. Whether or not that's actually true is a whole other thing. Then the next one, right, she sort of becomes the hero, right, and she sort of embodies Mystique. But then in this one, she spends most of the time not as Mystique. She spends it mostly in her human skin. Whatever the appropriate term to be, right? Looking like Jennifer Lawrence slash Katniss. And I guess I was reading that maybe the possible reason was that Jennifer Lawrence didn't want to be in the blue, which, okay. But from a narrative perspective, that means like we've taken a huge step back in terms of her character development, which seems to me really kind of undercutting and really tearing down her overarching narrative. So I like the idea though that they played with this whole, she was a hero, but she really doesn't want to be considered a hero, or she doesn't want that responsibility and she has to kind of accept it at the end, which I did appreciate.
It was actually kind of nice that for once the reluctant hero of the film of a film was female.
And also not actively trying to commit genocide.
Well, yeah, that too. But it's like, I mean, you know, we're used to the dude reluctant hero ignores the call to action, blah, blah, blah. And it was just so nice that for once the reluctant hero was, and the mutant hero was female. And I was just like, yeah, look, it's someone for all the little mutants to look up
to.
Yeah,
it's a lot of women in this being some version of badass a little bit, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, for all of its flaws on that front, it's certainly beating MCU.
I do think it passes the Bechdel test. Maybe? No, because maybe when two women talk, they're talking about Apocalypse. And I guess technically he's a dude.
I'm not even sure if two women actually exchange any words.
Yeah, they do.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, I don't think they exchange many.
Like two, maybe?
Maybe two, which means it doesn't pass the Bechdel for that either. So, never mind. Doesn't pass. I like that aspect of her narrative. I didn't like the other aspect because I just felt like it undercut her character a bit. But we haven't talked about the one character that we probably should talk about.
Eric?
Yeah.
You want to talk about undercutting narratives. I'm just really tired of poor Eric having to rehash the same narrative in every goddamn movie. Like, let the man have some actual character development that sticks. Or does he have some kind of, like, really terrible short-term memory problem? Like, he's a fucking goldfish, and he's like, oh, you know, I don't remember what happened the last time I was like, oh, my life is terrible, I'm going to kill everyone, and then Charles is going to stop me, and we're going to have, like, another quasi-divorce. Let me try it again.
In every movie.
It's pretty much every comic, too. I'm super annoyed by it.
Yeah, but it's...
so one of the only accurate
you know, let him
things,
have some character,
really.
Like, I mean, you know, like, Mystique, I felt like Mystique got to have some good character development, which was great. I'm not saying that I would unwish that for Eric's benefit, but for God's sake, and especially in this, the entire thing where they give him a family, and, like, the minute you see the family, you're like, oh, well, they're gonna get murdered in some horrible way to give Eric an excuse to, like, have man pain and decide to kill everyone. Oh, yep, there we go.
Yeah.
I mean, just... I found that aggravating.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I complete your thought.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, you know, I mentioned MCU. Like, I remember it was one thing when in MCU, in Age of Ultron, when we found out that Clint had a family, right? Or has a family. They haven't been murdered yet. And a lot of us were like, oh God, does this mean his family is going to get fridged and blah, 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 because that's what always happens. And then they didn't. And they've survived through civil war as well, which is quite fantastic. So it's like, look, it's possible.
Yeah.
Not for Magneto, though.
No.
But apparently not for Magneto.
So I have a lot of issues. One is the one you've already mentioned, which is like, this is the story we keep hearing for him. And it's sort of like, we get character development in the movie, but then it's like amnesia time and it's gone.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's always, I mean... You know, Fassbender does fine depicting this character, the grief, and then he gets angry, and then he gets the fuck over it, and then, you know, he goes to and helps rebuild the school. And so I was, like, super excited when they show Magneto and Jean rebuilding the school. I was like, this is cool. Are they going to do something different? And then he, like, fucks off at the end because reasons. And it that just aggravated me so much, because I'm like, okay, so now we've just undone all the character development that Michael Fassbender depicted again for the third time.
And I guess, so I understand it's in the comics, but like, this is one of those things that just, they can't translate this. You can't just, like, the comics do all this rebooting and all of this stuff, and I just feel like you can't do that in cinema, because at some point it becomes too obvious we're just repeating the same thing. And I agree, like, that I knew that that family, something bad was going to happen. It just had to, because I knew he became, I already knew from all the damn spoilers, since the internet's an asshole, that he was going to become one of the horsemen. So, of course, something bad had to happen. Either they died, or, like, something bad happened to him. But, like, the thing that drove me nuts is, he has this family. He's moved to, like, Poland or someplace. It's Poland. He's working in this factory. Everything seems to be going hunky-dory. He has this really nice little life. And yet, he has, in this continuity, attempted to murder the entire world.
Multiple times.
Killed a lot of people. Intentionally, not accidental, not like under mind control. Murdered a lot of people. Including innocent people. Lots of innocent people. And yet he is surprised that the people that are in that town, when they find out that he is Magneto, they're surprised that he is surprised that they come for him. And
no, he's not surprised. He's trying to get the fuck out of there.
Maybe I should rephrase. They come. What I mean is, he thinks that he can actually rationalize with these people. And because he does this whole thing where he's like, oh, we hung out together and we had dinner and like all this stuff. I saved your life. The one guy whose life he saved. All of these things. And it's like, but dude, like, just because you saved one dude's life, just because you got a family, just because you've been a nice dude in this town, you still murdered more people than Charles Manson.
It's more that he somehow expects them to not be afraid of him, of his daughter, of every single other mutant on the freaking planet.
But
when
it's
he
his
has
fault.
Basically spent his entire career proving them all right.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, like when he's kind of doing the thing where he's like, oh, we ate dinner together. I mean, that, I'm just sitting there going, they've got his daughter. He's going to try to say whatever the fuck he thinks he can say.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. I had a problem that he gets angry when she dies.
His response at the end of that is...
Oh, and her death is so stupid.
It's really tough. Both of them dying on the same arrow? Yes.
Perfect timing. Yeah.
And apparently they managed, it's like the sharpest wooden arrow ever, because obviously it couldn't have had a metal arrowhead on it.
No.
It's frustrating, but, and the issue I have then from there is like, okay, he gets angry and he kills all those people. I mean, I could buy that.
And we're expected to sympathize with him.
Right. That's the issue. You're expected to sympathize with what Eric is going through. When you end up just kind of going, eh.
I sympathize.
Cool story, still murder.
I sympathize up to that moment after his daughter dies, because I can believe that a person that murders a lot of people could actually love a family, and that daughter is innocent. She has not done anything wrong. They're innocent people dying. I could understand that, but my sympathy immediately falls away when his response to that is, I'm going to wipe out all of humanity on this planet, because that to me is a leap that is so drastically unjustified and insane for a character we're supposed to believe has, like, I understand why he goes to the whole, I'm going to kill all of the Nazis who did awful stuff to me in the camps because shit happened to him, right? I get it. I get why. I don't fully agree with it, but I understand that's driven him to a level of hate and anger and insanity that he would want to destroy all of humanity the first time. But he has had a moment now where he started to realize that that is not a path, that is a path that is counterproductive. And so for him to go there again and again and again and again, it's very frustrating. And I find it even more frustrating because it is a character who is a survivor of Auschwitz, who were constantly being presented as somebody who is so easily turned into wanting to murder all of the people on the damn planet, which I find very hard to believe. And
Charles has spent six movies explaining to Eric that he is Hitler.
Yes!
He basically became the thing that he hated the most in the world. That's what he's been doing for six freaking films.
Right.
Well, and the other thing is, okay, so you've got this goldfish characterization bullshit for Eric, and the other effect that has is that it really fucks up Charles's characterization as well. Because Charles, at least, you know, has, I think he has an understandable character arc across these three films, but then when it comes to Eric, suddenly Charles develops goldfish memory too, because it's like, well, I know you tried to murder everyone last time, but you're back now, baby, and I still love you. And oh, you're gonna walk off, and I'm just gonna let it happen, because I don't know, you know, I don't already know what to fucking expect the next time, which is, next movie, you're going to get mad and decide to murder everyone, and we're gonna do this again, and then you're gonna be like, oh, okay, well, I'll help you rebuild your school, it's okay, and then, I mean, it's so frustrating. Like, I know that, I really just wish they'd actually have the bravery to have let Magneto develop as a character.
Yeah.
And to let him change so he doesn't keep doing the same thing over and over again and then have to be like, you know, Charles is going to forgive him despite the fact that he murdered lots and lots of people, and Charles really should be better than that?
He doesn't deserve forgiveness. He deserves to be in a damn prison.
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
At certain point, just stop putting the fucking character into a movie. The yeah. only reason they keep doing it is because Michael Fassbender as Magneto has been really popular. Fine. I get it. That's the only reason Mystique is still yeah. in the fucking movies, is because everybody loves Jennifer Lawrence, and she makes a fuck ton of money. I get it. But it makes for a bad movie, because we've already watched it.
It's a bad movie yeah. only because they don't, as Rachel was saying, they don't have the bravery to follow through with the character development, to have those characters go somewhere and allow the right. plot to be somewhat guided by that development. They don't
because
want to do
that. Because
you
have two options. You can either have it actually be guided by them, or you can throw in every other character in the entire X-Men comic book series, in which yeah. case you're not going to have time. And that's really what it comes down to. I'm sure that, like, if somebody was like, you know what, maybe we should, like, stop putting 100 characters in, they'd be like, oh yeah, you know, maybe it might be a good idea to actually focus on the characters that we already have, because everybody likes them, instead of throwing new ones in. And all I can think of is that basically X-Men Apocalypse is the X-Men version of Age of Ultron. So it's the bridge film.
Yeah, because we're going to get Mr. Sinister.
We're going to get, the next movie is supposed to be more focused on the younger characters. So you're actually going to have a film more about Jean and Scott and Nightcrawler, and unfortunately probably Mystique too, but whatever.
Well, and our next villain is very likely to be Mr.
And
Sinister.
Our next villain is Mr. Sinister.
Which I'm excited about, but yeah.
Yeah. He's actually
yeah, I'm really not. I didn't really
awesome.
Like him, but
you shut your mouth.
So that's really they're like. So this movie ends up being just as messy as Age of Ultron, except that it actually managed to be more boring than Age of Ultron, which is kind of impressive.
Because Age of Ultron yeah, is not a totally terrible movie. It's not great.
Yeah,
it is a terrible movie.
I thought this one was a lot. It was not as good as Age of Ultron, but I mostly liked Age of Ultron, which I know puts me in the minority, and I'm okay with that. I'm allowed to like things.
I think there was far more to like about Age of Ultron than there is to like about X-Men Apocalypse. I mean, I will admit, I came out of X-Men Apocalypse.
I will even say that.
Yeah, you're...
And I hated that movie.
Age of Ultron. Yeah. I came out of it of X-Men Apocalypse, and I'm like, well, that was kind of fun, and that's kind of all I could say about it, because, I mean, it is kind of fun, in parts. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's a fun movie. But both the
yeah,
person
I
went with and I, we both said, like, but there's nothing, like, nothing was really developed. It wasn't well put together. It was sort of just, like, it was a movie that, like, we need a placeholder to put an X-Men movie in, and so yeah. we'll make this one. It just never feels like a fully cohesive narrative. It never yeah. feels like everything's really coming together, and when things do come together, they feel very haphazard or contrived, just to kind of fill plot bubbles, rather than having actual development. Like, again, going back to Aurora, right? She, the whole Mystique thing, and that's why she turns on Apocalypse at the end. But, like, we get between that and the moment at the end, there's nothing about her in the middle. She, like,
no.
says fuck all
yes.
in the middle, right? And so
yeah.
we never
yeah.
see her really struggle with that. Her only struggle we see is literally at the end. right? We never see any of the, like, that's the thing.
But unfortunately, like, that was basically, it wasn't really a struggle. It was just 5 minutes of her staring at things.
Right, while hanging on side of a building and going,
sitting
what's
in a little
on?
Building. What's going on?
What's going on?
I just
fought a dude who was in giant blue fur. What the fuck? Yeah. Like, at least have her go like, wait, what the fuck just happened? There's a dude in blue fur. But no, of course, she probably knows a blue fur dude exists, so whatever. I was going to say something else, and something had fallen out of my brain, and I just totally lost it. There was something else I was going to say about all of this, and it's gone. I don't know what it was. Damn.
The timeline's haphazard, at best.
It was.
In terms of piecing the scenes together, there were moments where I literally was like, where are characters? Weren't we just talking to characters?
Yeah.
Where did they go? They were, and I guess that sort of makes sense in the fact that they were jumping around between as many characters as they were,
sure.
But they did it poorly. So most of the time you couldn't even track what was actually going on.
Yeah.
Until suddenly Quicksilver's there and saving everybody, and you get 5 minutes of Quicksilver doing that, which was cool.
Yep, best moments in the movie.
Right. So, and then to top it all off, I mean, you guys just said it was fun. The only fun I had was in that brief scene of Quicksilver. So much of this movie was just like gigantic Earth destruction pieces or something destruction pieces.
Like a Roland Emmerich film.
Right. It looked more like a bad Roland Emmerich film.
Keep in mind,
and
he
I'm
did
excited. 2012.
He did 2012.
I am this was worse than 2012.
Okay.
No,
that's,
it wasn't.
That's some bullshit.
It really fucking wasn't.
It was not.
I had more fun watching 2012 than I did this film. That's the only reason I say that this was.
Oh my god, 2012 was 5 hours long, and it was the most boring 5 hours of my life. I couldn't even get drunk enough to laugh at the terrible geology. It was just.
Oh
no.
Yeah, that
2012
that was
all
awful.
Exponentially worse than this film, and I will fight you on that.
I had more fun watching the Earth get destroyed in 2012 than I did in this. That's basically what it came down to. Like,
okay.
Occasionally, it's fun to watch the Earth get destroyed. Hence, Independence Day. like, there's a reason we're excited about it.
Yeah, but it also has good characters, let's be honest. And we're waiting for Bill Pullman to make another great speech. Duh.
Right. I don't think he's going to, but...
He has to. If he fucking doesn't,
I'll be so mad. We're excited
about
that. And frankly, I'm excited about seeing the Earth get destroyed again. Because that's what Roland Emmerich does best. Bryan Singer does not do that very well.
No.
So much of this film was just looking at people's faces as they watch the world get destroyed or as they destroy the world. So most of Michael Fassbender's part was actually just to sit there destroying the world, not actually doing anything.
Grimacing
a lot. And to do it in, like, a pose that made the wire work really, really poor, really obvious. And it was not, it didn't look good. None of it looked good. I might have forgiven this movie a lot of its faults if any part of it, for that last 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is, of the destruction scene, if it had actually looked good. But it didn't. Except for one brief moment when Jean goes Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the mind, you know, fight. That was kind of cool.
That was cool.
But the actual Earth destruction, the fight scene, the big epic fight scene, which was not epic in the slightest, all of that looked bad. That Psylocke entrance was one of the worst fucking things I've ever watched in a
movie.
Where
she, like, jumps in really far?
Yes.
Yeah, that was...
It looked better in the trailer than it did in the final version.
It looked really dumb.
I was like, what the fuck? The Quicksilver Mystique moving around was some of the worst CGI I've ever seen, because it didn't even look like them. It was like these weird body morph thingies that could, like, the rubber girl game that you can just drop a girl and she, that one, you know? That's what they looked like. Actually, and again, Psylocke getting thrown in by Angel, who was a completely fucking wasted character, if I might add. Was he even... He was in the movie? Like, 5 minutes?
All of the apocalypse... Like, this is... Like,
oh my god. The
horsemen really
were...
Poorly done.
so badly done.
And it's because, like, this is the thing that drives me nuts is it never makes it clear. I always got the impression they're not being mind controlled. So what exactly is motivating them to do any of this shit?
Nothing. Right?
There's nothing in Aurora's character that we're presented that would suggest that she wants to massacre all of humanity.
None.
There isn't anything in Psylocke's character that suggests that she, like, based on what we're presented, right?
Angel is the closest that we get to somebody who might actually be angry. Maybe.
Angel?
And he is, yeah. Because he's trapped by the humans and forced to fight.
Right, he's put in that fighting thing alive. And he kills, supposedly kills the blob.
He's the only one that seems to have any sort of motivation, which I actually appreciated for the 5 minutes that I got that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we're done with you. You showed your cool wings. We're good. He's the only one that's actually one of the original Apocalypse's horsemen, too. Right. So it was like, what the fuck are you even doing right now? And I would have loved to have seen more of that motivation, but none of it was there. So you have this final big epic battle between two sides, but you're like, you guys have no reason to be here. You might as well just go. And they do. They all leave. They're just like, peace. We're out.
Yeah,
it was a very frustrating movie.
Who were the original of the horsemen? It was obviously Angel.
Apocalypse, and then it's Archangel, and then three other people who I don't remember. They're all villains in the original storyline.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who they were.
Angel, the only reason Angel becomes Archangel and works for Apocalypse is because his wings had been ruined, and Apocalypse gives him his wings back. But he's tortured, and yeah, he actually had reasons for becoming one of the horsemen in the comic books. And he did in this too, briefly. The two women absolutely did not have any motivation. Except that they're, like, generally villainous or something, I guess. But that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which doesn't make, especially with Storm. I mean, what we did see of Storm, I was just kind of like, maybe even though he's, you know, Apocalypse supposedly isn't telepathic, maybe he's got some kind of, like, psychic whammy he's putting on them, because I could not make any sense of Storm being one of the horsemen.
No.
Other than psychic whammy.
It was just because they wanted to put Storm in the movie. They're like, we're just going to put her in, and we're going to hope that nobody notices that she has literally no reason to be here at all.
Yeah, none whatsoever. But in any case, we're going on close to an hour here, so we should probably grade this sucker and get the hell out. So, I will start with Rachel. Quick final thoughts, because we've said many things today, and your grade.
I mean, I'd watch this movie again. I didn't hate it. I found it really frustrating. It was kind of like a study in wasted potential, because the more I think about it, just the madder it makes me, especially about the characterization of Charles and Eric, and it's just, so, but, you know, I'd watch it again. It wasn't as awful as many other movies that I have watched and wouldn't watch again, like, you know, say 2012 or Gods of Egypt or whatever, that I couldn't get through sober. So, you know, I'll give it a C+, because I am a slave to McAvoy and Fassbender, even if their characters are not allowed to develop, and I really like Quicksilver.
Fair enough. All right. Jen, quick thoughts and your final grade.
I'm giving this all the fucking Fs that I possibly can. There are two people that should never be allowed to direct a comic book movie ever again. One of them is Zack Snyder.
Yeah, fuck that piece of shit.
Yeah, fuck Zack Snyder.
Fucking Batman vs. Superman. What a...
Yeah, you know what? Okay.
I have not watched Batman vs. Superman yet. I haven't watched it.
I literally have no idea what Jen. You both said, because you both screamed at me at the same exact time.
Rachel, what were you going to say about Zack Snyder?
Oh, I was just going to say, fuck Zack Snyder. See, I would rather watch this one a million times than fucking watch Batman vs. Superman again. And Jen, you've got to see Batman vs. Superman because I want to hear you cry.
No, I'm not going to do that to myself. I was really hoping that this would not be the Marvel version, in my opinion, of Batman versus Superman.
See, you can't unfortunately, say that you've seen Batman versus true. Superman. Trust
that's true.
Me.
Except that the amount of betrayal I feel over this movie is approximately, I think, what I'm going to feel after seeing Batman versus Superman. So, yes, never fucking give Zack Snyder or Bryan Singer a comic book movie ever, 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 ever again. Please! Please, gods! Please, universe! Don't do this to us! Please give it back to Marvel so I get one fucking decent X-Men movie in my lifetime. Just one.
Just one.
That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
Just one.
Alright. So, for folks listening right now, before I give my final thoughts and my grade, if you would like to see Jen be on a Torture Cinema episode for Batman and Superman, you should email us.
Oh my god!
Or send us
yeah,
a tweet.
That is definitely Torture Cinema level.
I break out in a rash every time I think about that movie.
You could not get me to watch that fucking movie again unless I was like, you know, $500 to charity drunk. Like, I have to get for some movies like that.
That might have to be. That will literally be, maybe Skiffy and Fanti is going to have a fundraiser.
Okay.
Because
here's what I will say.
I'm never going to pay to watch Batman versus Superman, that's for fucking sure.
Okay, you need to calm down. I'm trying to say my part and end
okay.
the show.
Sorry.
Sorry,
stop. Please. So angry. Why did you bring it up? Oh, I brought it up. Sorry.
You did this shit to yourself. You're in a rage because it's your own fucking fault.
Oh, sorry. So sorry.
This is going to be
Please.
A hell to edit because it's just like Jen's mic is constantly spiking because she just gets angry and angry and she's just yelling into her mic.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so here's, I'll say this again. If you would like us to do Batman for Superman and have Jen be a part of that episode, you should send us an email, skiffyandfanti@gmail.com, or send us tweets. You can send multiple tweets. You can bother us for the next 3 months because that's probably about how long it'll take until the DVD or Blu-ray comes out. And since Jen probably won't do it unless there's some sort of money on the line, and certainly Rachel won't unless there's some sort of money on the line, we will do some kind of a fundraiser for something in science fiction and fantasy. We may be past some of the stuff that's currently going on by the time that'll happen, so we'll figure it out as we get to it. And then we'll do something like that where you can basically punish us for charity.
Yes, I will. That's the only thing that will get me to watch Batman vs. Superman, that's for sure.
Suffering for charity is a good cause.
Awesome.
It's caused me to watch some bad movies, but it's gotten a lot of money for charity.
Cool. So if you want to do that, email us, tweet us. There you go. You know deal. So my final thoughts and grade so we can get the fuck out of here and we can go do whatever it is we're going to do when we're not thinking about this movie. I basically just all the stuff I've already said. I had lots of issues with this movie. The best part of it, of course, is the Quicksilver part. So at least that gave me the hope we might get a Quicksilver movie because that would be so much fun. But otherwise, it's not very good. I would give this, like, I enjoyed it, but it was sort of like, meh. It was just kind of average. And so I would actually give it a C. I might revise that because originally I was going to give it a slightly higher grade. And then after having a conversation with you two, I decided it had to be lower. I might revise that later. I might because the more I think about this movie and I think when I watch it again, because I haven't seen it, I saw this about 10 days ago. So it's not as fresh as it is for you two. So if I saw it again, I imagine.
I haven't seen it that recently.
Okay, so.
I'm the one that it's fresh for, which might explain my pure rage.
Yeah, it might explain why Jen sounds like she's living inside a Coke can and is just screaming at people walking by.
I mean, kind of the funny part is, like, for me, the cooling off period meant that I now like it less than when I originally watched it.
Yeah.
Because I came out of it and Well, the thing is, I came out of it and I was like, oh, that was a lot of fun. And I went and saw it with somebody that, you know, I like spending time with. So that made it more fun. And then now that I've had some time to think about it, I've hit the now wait one fucking minute point where I'm like, now wait a minute.
Fair enough.
Eric's plotline did suck. Ooh.
Fair enough.
Now that I'm no longer looking at Michael Fassbender's beautiful eyes.
Oh, so pretty.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I gave it a C. So, all right, we're done. We're done. No more. So,
peace!
Again, there'll be all the information at the end of the episode if you want to send us emails or messages or anything you want about our take or you want to offer your own take or whatever. Do that. Also, please support us on Patreon. We're at patreon.com/skiffyandfanti. Please support us. We're trying to take over the world. in a way that is more effective than Apocalypse does in this movie. And that is a really hard thing to do. Effective. We need at least $18 to do it. So, which is more money than Apocalypse has, because I don't fucking think he has any money.
He doesn't need any money.
He just steals shit and puts people inside walls. That's just what he does. So, yeah, so please support us. Patreon.com/SkiffyAndFanty. Give us a dollar, whatever you can spare, to help us be more awesome. So, there you go.
Mic drop. We're out.
We're mic drop. We're out. So, awkward ending and scene.
You're welcome, citizens. You're welcome.
Our intro and outro music comes from Nocturnia by Psychedelic Pedestrian. You can find out more about them on freemusicarchive.org, including the full version of the song. We obviously made some edits to the song, including sound effects and, of course, shortening the length. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. If you'd like to send us a suggestion, you can do so at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, skiffyandfanty.com, and check out the little suggested topic form at the top there. You can also just send us emails. You can also find us on Twitter at skiffyandfanty or on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Just search for us on there. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next time.